Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
One of my least favorite things to do is my taxes. I April 15th, I hate. I just cannot stand it.
Amen.
And you know, I always worry that I'll make a mistake, or I'll either pay too much, or more worried I'm going to pay too little and they're going to come back. And the best solution I found actually is just to hire somebody to do my taxes and let them stress over it so I don't have to. And so I have a couple tax experts in here. One, and I thought we would get an early start on taxes and have the two guest gurus that I have. The first is Greg Keel, a great friend of the show and a private wealth advisor and managing partner of Acuitas Financial Group. Did I pronounce it right this time?
Close. Acuitas.
Acuitas.
It's Latin, so don't beat yourself up.
Acuitas. I know what I did wrong. See, I split it up and I didn't put a Q in it.
Mm.
I can mispronounce anything, so it's all right. I mispronounced my own name. Greg's a private wealth advisor, but I'm good at math.
That's true.
I'm a mortgage guy. I'm good at math. That's what I have to be good at. As a private wealth advisor, he's practice, and his practice is part of Ameriprise Financial Services. Correct?
Correct.
And Greg has a bachelor's degree in both economics and political science and has earned a certified financial planner. He's a chartered retirement planning counselor, which I think that's a big deal. One time we'll have to get into that. Certified divorce financial analyst and certification for long-term care, which is another one I think is really interesting. Greg served proudly as a captain in the United States Army and served a combat tour in Iraq. Greg has over 22 years experience as a financial advisor and earns numerous awards and honors and leads a team of 22 advisors and staff. I will say, Greg, when you talk to Greg, you would think he has 100 years experience because he seems to know all of it. Greg's firm specializes in helping people recover from the trauma of divorce through compassionate, sustainable financial planning and litigation support. Additionally, his firm provides advisory services focused on executive compensation, estate, and retirement planning. Greg, welcome, and I'm sorry I butchered that.
You did fantastic, as always.
Yeah.
It's good to be back, Rick. Thanks again for having me on the show.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. What is the best way for listeners to contact you for any financial planning needs?
You can Google me at Greg Keel, GREGGKEELE, also gregkeel.com, or call us at 317-288-5400.
And great. Thank you. Our second guest is a tax guru. That's why I talked about how much I hated taxes. And I'm really glad that you're here because I think this is a subject that everybody, this time of year especially, everybody's interested in.
Absolutely.
And it is, I mean, I just can't, it just is an awful time. I just don't like it. And LaShanya Young, and you have an MBA. You're president and owner of Diamond Tax Services, Inc., which is a locally owned, certified, minority-owned with the city of Indianapolis. That's great. Did I mispronounce anything?
Absolutely not.
I'm on it today.
You're on a roll.
I'm on it today. And Diamond Tax Services specializes in tax preparation and financial planning for a wide variety of clients. They specialize in tax return filing and tax planning for individuals. I can't think of anything better for somebody to do for somebody else than their taxes. First-time filers, they don't know what they're in for.
Absolutely.
Sole proprietors, pretty much everybody you do you do tax.
Yes, we do.
Services for. I'm sure this is a really busy time of year for you too.
Yes, it is. It was a challenge being here today, but I'm glad. I'm glad.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, and I figured it was because, I mean, this is your busy season.
Absolutely. That's why you looked at me when you walked in, like, what? She's here?
I know. Oh, I did. I thought. You know, I really did. I thought this is impressive that you could get here this time of year, because I would think this would be a very, very tough time.
She's going to have to work till midnight tonight to make up for it, poor thing.
So we better make this really good then. Are you really?
Yes.
Don't call us after 10.
Okay.
And what is the best way for our listeners to contact you?
Via our website, DiamondTaxIndy, that's indy.com, or call us 317-295-8004. Either way, we'll get back with you. We also have an email if you want to email us directly, and that's info@DiamondTaxIndy.com.
Excellent. And as we've talked, April 15th is not all that far away. It always comes faster than what we expect.
It sure does.
And obviously everybody, maybe not quite yet, but they will have taxes on their mind very shortly. And I had a client the other day, which I don't even like talking about taxes, to be quite honest. I just don't even want to hear it. But unfortunately, in my business and mortgages, you got to talk about taxes. You always do. They were asking me a question. I had no idea. They said, you know, if they have a child that they claim that has high, that they earn income, part-time income in high school, and they work after school and on the weekends, mm-hmm. and they wondered if they could then still count them as a dependent since they are living at home.
That is a great question, and I actually get that more often than you think, because a lot of times individuals or parents or families think that because that child starts working, then that automatically excludes them from being claimed on the tax return, and that's not true. Typically, a dependent is 18 or under, and then as long as they meet the five tests, gross income, meaning they make less than a certain amount, which is like $4,350, they have to be a citizen, they have to have lived in the home, and this is one that a lot of them miss, you know, live in the home for more than half the year. And then, you know, be a resident of the U.S., of course. So, again, as long as they meet those five tests, you know, and, oh, the support test, I forgot that one, meaning that they're not providing more than 50% of their support, then they generally are still a dependent, you know. I mean, that kid that made $1,200 at McDonald's, they are still your dependent.
Yeah, they certainly feel like you're dependent.
Absolutely.
I will tell you that.
Absolutely.
That is.
Show me a kid that can support themselves with $1,200, then you've shown me something.
Oh, yeah. How hard is, I mean, that for anybody to support themselves on $1,200 would be very, very,
very difficult.
And kids don't realize it, how much parents actually do for them, and they're living in their house and all the food and all that stuff. I remember thinking, you know, this is not that big a deal. And then you get out and have to pay for it all. It's like, oh my gosh, what in the world's going on here?
Right. And convincing the child, because a lot of them think once they start working, then they think, oh, I'm going to claim myself on my taxes. And I get cases like that where the child is run out and their friend filed their taxes for them. And then the parent gets this reject because the child, you know, filed and used their social prior to them filing. And so it's a big mess because we have to now amend the child's return, you know, mail the parents' tax return in. So I tell all of my kids, you know, parents that come in with their kids, you know, when they're little, I start training them, don't file your taxes before your parents.
Yeah. And I would think that if the kid in the summer and over, even if they earn $5,000, the credit isn't going to be enough to matter for them, is it?
Well, you know, if they've earned $5,000, well, then, you know, we basically have to, I mean, they are not supporting them. So they can't, $5,000 is probably not half of their support for the entire year.
Oh, yeah, right.
So then there's a dependency worksheet that we use to, you know, if it becomes an issue. You know, most of the time, like I said, they make $1,200, you know, a couple thousand over the summer, it's not even an issue. But if they do make a substantial amount of money, we definitely do want to use the dependency worksheet to make sure. Most people just do it, but, you know, I try to keep people compliant so that they, you know, if there's ever any questions, you know, we've got, you know, our homework that we've done to back us up.
Right. I now appreciate my kids not working during school.
Right.
I didn't appreciate it before.
Well, I'm on the other end of that because I've got some adult ones that are still trying to figure that out.
They're still not getting the credit.
They're still not getting it.
LaShanya is so good at being thorough about those things because, you know, when you're talking about a $2,000 tax credit that a parent gets for a child, a tax credit, now that's not a deduction. That's a reduction in the tax they owe.
Absolutely.
Versus the child who earned very little income and probably owes no federal income tax anyway because they have a tax deduction of a standard exemption of $12,400 anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be a really costly mistake to the family. Because the child's not going to get any benefit from that, and
absolutely,
the parents have to pay an extra $2,000 in tax.
Yeah, that's that not good.
True. Yeah, LaShawna is so good about working through those issues with people and helping them understand. And it's such a busy time, and tax preparers have to work through so many returns so quickly. And the one thing I'll tell you that I'm so impressed with LaShawna is she will take the time to work with folks, teach them about the issue and the process, and make sure they understand. And I tell you, that is just so rare in her business, and her heart for people is just makes a tremendous difference in the experience people have. Because like you said, getting your taxes done or paying taxes, it's no fun. When you can go with someone as smart and honest and kind as LaShawna, it sure makes the sting a little easier to bear.
Yep. I do wonder, though, what kind of person goes into this when taxes are so awful to do. I'm kidding.
Well, I can tell you.
He's got to have a servant's heart, I suppose.
Yes. Absolutely. And thank you, Greg, for that. And you're right. I'm a lot like you, Rick. I actually display all of my work because the one thing you don't want is people coming back saying, well, I didn't know. And I didn't. Everything that we do, it's displayed on a monitor. They can see and they can ask questions. And just as Greg was just explaining, you know, it's all about educating them. Yeah, I don't like taxes either, believe it or not, but I like helping people, right, you know, understand the process and make sure they're not paying too much or, you know, not paying enough and understand why.
Great.
Fair share and not a penny more.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Time for our question of the week. It's a question I get. Usually it's an email. Sometimes it's a phone call. This one comes from Charlie S. And Charlie wanted to know if it's better to take the standard deduction or to itemize his deductions. And I actually kind of had the same question with the new tax laws. So I thought this was a great one to have you, when you were on, to ask.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, the tax law really made it a lot more difficult for people to itemize, because what happened under the tax law that took effect last year is they did away with the personal exemption. And that was an amount you got to deduct for each person that was claimed on the tax return. They eliminated personal exemptions and nearly doubled what they call a standard deduction. A standard deduction is what the IRS has determined as a deduction amount that you can deduct according to your filing status, whether you're single, whether you're married, filing joint, married, filing separate, qualifying widow, or head of household. All of them have their own rules, right? So what happened is that standard deduction was nearly doubled for most taxpayers. And so itemizing became a little more difficult. So for example, married, filing joint, you get the highest standard deduction, $24,400 this year. So itemizing your deductions means that you have to exceed that amount. And that becomes difficult, you know, for a lot of individuals, especially if their home is nearly paid off, you know, if they're not, you know, giving a lot of charitable contributions. It's, you know, made it really impossible, or really difficult, I guess I should say, not impossible.
Yeah. I would think it helped in a lot of ways. And that you get more for a lot of people, but then there's others, they can still itemize if they go over that.
They can, absolutely. And it did make it a little bit easier because, you know, it, you know, less forms, so to speak, you know, people can just come in and, you know, and it made it a little harder on us practitioners, you know, because most people resorted to doing it themselves, but there's still some caution there, you know, in doing it yourself.
Oh, so. Absolutely.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that initial deduction, whether it's using a Schedule A and itemizing your deductions or using the standard, mm-hmm. That is the amount of money that you can earn, and you don't have to pay tax on that amount of money. So that first, for a married couple, $24,400 that you earn is taxed at 0%, and that is a really nice rate.
That is a great rate, yeah, unless you're investing at that rate. Mm-hmm.
If your investment returns are earning zero, that's not as good. No. But you won't owe any taxes. So if you earn zero on your investment, you won't owe any.
But just on the file, don't you?
Ask LaShawna.
Greg always amazes me. He knows everything. Awesome. I mean, he knows. It's amazing the knowledge he has about so many subjects.
Right.
It just amazes me.
It's very kind. Maybe a little overinflated, but very kind.
No, it is. I love telling people, that's a great question.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer, too. It's a great question. Let's get Greg on the phone and ask
that's
Greg.
Right. Okay.
I think that's a great idea. So it I guess this kind of answers from the question that they asked, what is better, a deduction or a credit? That's kind of the same question, or is that different?
Well, it's different, and Greg kind of touched on that a little bit earlier. A deduction is an amount that you get to subtract from your income that you don't pay taxes on. So if you have a $5,000 deduction, you deduct that from, you know, the income, and then whatever your tax rate is. So if you pay taxes at a rate of 15%, that $5,000 deduction is going to be about $650 as far as a dollar amount, versus a credit, okay, is dollar for dollar. Okay, so a $2,000 credit is just that. You're going to get credited $2,000 on that tax return. And again, it matches dollar for dollar, versus a $2,000 deduction at a rate of 15% is only a $250 savings. Or did I do my math right? $350 if you're.
I'll go with whatever you're saying. Right.
So a credit means you don't have to pay that tax. Exactly. A deduction means that you're going to have less tax owed, but you're still, you know, it's not the same thing. So Lashani explained it well.
Thank you.
Another, and this is a question after meeting you and talking to you on the radio a little bit, it seems, you know, a lot of people go to one of these big tax outfits. I personally like going to local businesses myself. I love the fact that it's a minority business that's partnered with Indianapolis. I think that's a great thing. I think people should support our local businesses. Yes. And I also feel, well beyond that, I don't think they get the knowledge at those big places that they're going to get with working with you.
Absolutely. Speaking of knowledge, I agree. I worked for one of those big brands for a lot of years and kind of figured it out, you know, about 7 years ago. And I have learned more being on my own, that because I don't have that, you know, luxury of picking up the phone and calling, you know, a premium office or whatever. So I've learned more as a practitioner on my own, having to study, having to take the courses and, you know, do the things to keep myself abreast of the facts. As far as back to your question, you know, educating people, it is an amazing, you know, process, and people really appreciate that, you know, taking the time, because the brand, it's about numbers, you know, how many people you can crank through there. I mean, I need numbers too, but I do love the responsibility of, you know, actually educating people so that they know, you know. And I'm okay if they learn how to do it themselves, you know, but most of the time they come back.
Yeah, I would
know?
Think
they
so.
They really, you know, they, yeah. Cause they really don't.
Because it's obvious too. Not only do you have the knowledge, the expertise, you have a lot of compassion and caring for your clients, and you really do want to do what's best for them.
Right. And, you know, with my alliance and working with folks like Greg and his firm, and, you know, the different, you know, connections, you know, kind of like the one-stop shop, you know, because that helps too, because, you know, Greg and I, you know, we, you know, exchange information, you know, versus having to go, you know, because we have that relationship, that alliance, it does help us, you know, to be able to just, you know, get information, get the answers, and just help, you know, just connect all the dots.
Yeah, I know that under the new tax laws, people sometimes feel like things got simpler. And for a small percentage of the population, I'm sure that's true. But Lashani and I work on cases all the time, especially if someone is receiving Social Security benefits and then they're taking money from a retirement plan like an IRA or a 401k, or maybe they have part-time work. It really gets complicated understanding how that extra dollar of income affects the taxation of their Social Security benefits.
Absolutely.
So sometimes people can take an extra $5,000 to go on that cruise out of their IRA, and they think, oh, well, my tax rate's 15%. I'm going to take out an extra $5,000, so no big deal. Well, what they didn't realize is that took them over a threshold based on their Social Security benefits, so that $5,000 they took out might have caused $3,000 in additional tax.
Absolutely.
Right? Because they didn't understand how those things are tied together. And so what Lashani and I do for people is we work together, and I can see that I'm going to need some money coming up at the end of this year, at the beginning of next year, and we can talk through when and how I should take that money, because maybe I should take $2,000 from the IRA this year and $3,000 next year, or maybe I should take some money from a different kind of an account in order to avoid paying those high taxes. And so we can turn that $5,000 that we had to pay $3,000, now we had to take $8,000 out to get $5,000. Well, now we work it out, and we can work it out to maybe we only had to take out $5,500 or $5,800 or something. It's just a matter of understanding how those things interrelate. And most people trying to do it on TurboTax or on their own, once you take that money out of that IRA plan, once you earn it from that boss and you get that W-2, you can't undo it. We can do things proactively, but a lot of things just can't be undone. And if you don't talk to us, we can't figure it out, and then it can't be undone. So working in tandem like that, just like when, Rick, when you and I work on mortgages together, I make it so much easier for people because I already have most of the answers to the questions you need. I already have the taxes and the paperwork and all. It's the same thing. When we work together as a team, we just provide so much value to people that they might not even know exists. And so opportunity like this for LaShawnee to be here is fantastic for people to know that.
And I appreciate it. You made a very valid point. You talk about Social Security and pensions and things. It's amazing how many people think that Social Security is not taxable, no matter what. Most of the times it is. It's, if it's the sole source of income, then generally it won't be. But when it's combined with a pension or any, if they're working part-time, then that Social Security is quite possibly going to be taxed. And most people think that it's just automatically non-taxed, and that's just not true.
Yeah, I knew that because in lending, if it's not taxed, we can ramp it up when we're counting it for income. But the vast majority of people, it is taxed on. The vast majority of people, it seems like. Maybe it's just the customers I work with, but it does seem like most people have it taxed for some reason. Yeah. And they also get other money taken out, like for Medicare, things like that. It seems like that also comes out of there.
Right, it comes off the top.
Yeah. Changing subject a little bit, but if somebody's looking at starting their own business, kind of like what you did, what kind of big business structure should they look at?
Well, that is definitely something you want to consult with myself as well as Greg to select what's best for you. First of all, we want to determine what's your goal. Are you in it? Is it a hobby? Okay, well, we're going to stick with a sole proprietor. But if you're intending to make profit, well, then, you know, there's several structures that we should look at. Generally, if you are making less than $30,000, the sole proprietor, Schedule C, more commonly known, is the route. But if you're going to, once you exceed that amount, then you should, you know, look into an S-Corp or a corporation or a partnership or something of that nature, because they all have their separate ways of being taxed, okay? So you definitely want to consult with a consultant, tax consultant, you know, financial advisor, to see what structure is best in, depending on your goals.
Yeah, it goes back to what Greg was saying earlier. You got to ask the right people.
Right.
You have the team, you ask the right people, because you could go out and start your own business and structure it completely wrong.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that has a very detrimental effect on starting the business. Greg, is that right?
Oh, yeah. And sometimes we need to incorporate some legal advice into the team too, because we're looking for some liability protection. But yeah, again, anytime we do something that we're not that familiar with, we run into the trap of not knowing what we don't know, right? And so we can look at something and think it is what it is, and well, it could be quite different. So LaShawnee was talking about whether you use an LLC or an S corp or a sole proprietorship. Wrapped into that can be how much of your income is subject to FICA FUTA tax, which is the Social Security and Medicaid tax, which is 15.3% when you're a business owner, right? You have to pay your 7.65% and you have to pay the employer's 7.65% because you're the same entity, right? Well, if LaShawnee helps you structure your business properly, only a portion of your income may be subject to that 15.3% and another portion won't be. Well, if you can save 15.3% on half of your income, for example, now this is just a general example, you might have just saved a lot of money. And you wouldn't have known that maybe unless you went and talked to somebody who is more experienced at knowing what they're looking at.
Right. And that, it makes total sense, but it is amazing how I have it happen in credit. Somebody will call me and they say, well, my credit scores were low, and so I did some things to it, and now it's got worse. And what they did made total logical sense, but it was completely the wrong thing to do.
Like closed an account? You're like, oh, I closed an account to make my credit go higher. No, that made your credit go lower.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly. It is amazing because what is logical isn't how the credit report, you know, credit services work. So, and it sounds like it's this, not exactly the same, but the same here. You're better off asking somebody to get the right advice so that you can go and do it correctly.
The amount of money you're going to save and heartache you're going to save is way below the fee LaShantia would charge to help you with your tax planning. And I'll tell you, she is incredibly fair in her pricing. She does great work, and I always tell her she needs to charge more because she's that good. But she doesn't. She keeps her prices low, and it's truly an impressive service that she gives to the community because she's a great, great value.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And I can just tell just sitting here how much knowledge you have and experience. And it makes it great because you know when somebody calls and they're going to be taken care of and they're going to get the best service possible. They're going to get the right answers. And that makes a huge difference. And I don't know about everybody, but on taxes, I worry about that more than maybe anything else because I got a notice one time because I did it wrong on my taxes that I owed the IRS a bunch of money. And it was because I didn't put a number in on an investment that I'd cashed out. And they were taxing me on the entire amount like I hadn't put anything in.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
And I'm glad you brought that up because most people are inclined to just automatically pay whatever is on a notice that they may receive. I challenge every one of them because a lot of times the IRS isn't right or the state taxing authority isn't right. So when I get a letter, I challenge it. I go for it. I look up the rules, call and find out, you know, what has actually taken place. And I've dealt with your very situation before where there were securities that were exchanged and the IRS sent them a letter and they didn't allow a basis for those securities. So they had this $10,000 bill. Well, you know, I challenged it, found out what the issue was, and they actually didn't end up owing this $10,000. So that's just one example. So never just respond to the notice and pay what's on it. Always consult, you know, a tax consultant because usually there's some relief.
I did exactly what you said. But I'm sure I reacted like every other person who gets it or nearly every other. I ignored it because I just didn't want to deal with it.
No.
Okay. I ignored it until it was like a week away. Oh, then I decided I better deal with it. And as soon as I actually read it and looked into it, I realized what they were saying and what I had done wrong. Right. And I fixed it. And it was a pretty easy fix. And they ended up sending me back money.
Yay.
Yes.
So
I'm glad you had a good outcome there, but that's a perfect example of what not to do. Because you drive LaShantia and I crazy when you show up 3 days before the deadline. And sometimes things we need to fix take a little time to fix them or even to research to figure out what we have to do. And so don't put your head in the sand. Be proactive. Bring it to us. Let us figure it out. And generally, you know, it's not as bad. Like LaShantia said, it's not as bad as it looks. So, but please don't ignore.
That's the worst thing to do.
I'm sure most people do that.
They do.
I'm
You're
guessing
right.
that's
you
the first thing they do.
I can promise you that.
Yeah, I figured that I wasn't. I like to run with the crowd and things like that. LaShantia, what is the best way for our listeners to contact you?
Thank you. www.diamondtaxindy.com, 317-295-8004. Or you can like us on Facebook. We're on Twitter, Instagram. We're out there.
You're out there. And it's Diamond Tax Services.
Diamond Tax Indy.
Indy.
INDY.com.
Okay. So Diamond Tax Indy. INDY.com.
That is correct.
Yeah. Anybody at this time of year, you should flood her with calls because this is the time of year you need taxes. And Greg, how about you? How can people contact you if they have financial planning needs?
Google Greg Keel with two G's on the end, GREGGKEELE, or gregkeel.com. Or call us at 317-288-5400.
Well, thank you guys for joining me. I really do appreciate it. Thanks
thank
so much.
You.
Thanks, Rick.
And thank you for joining us on Indy's Real Estate Gurus. If you have questions through the week, please call me at 317-672-1938. That's 317-672-1938. Or online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Have a great weekend.